against me. I'm in Christ. And since I'm in Christ, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Since I'm in Christ, even if I'm afflicted, it shall not be able to overtake me, because he'll deliver me from all my afflictions. So no matter what comes my life, I need to realize I'm in Christ and I shall overcome, because I have victory in Christ Jesus. Y'all with me this day? Y'all with me this morning? Amen. And let's go on verse 7 through 9. It says, and the ages to come might show the exceeding riches of his grace in the kingdom of the kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourself, but it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Look at this. He tells us about the riches of God. He tells us of how God raised us. But then he tells us that God wants to give us a revelation here. He says, what does God want to reveal? He wants to reveal, first of all, he wants to reveal something to us. He wants to reveal to us that how we are saved. He wants to reveal to us, and not only to us, but to the ages to come, how much riches, not only in mercy, but in grace he had. In other words, you can't outsin and outrun the grace of God. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Let me see. Can I explain it where you can understand it? I don't care what you've done in your life. Your sin can never be so bad that God cannot forgive you. Amen. Your sin can never be so bad that God cannot still look at you and say, I love you. Come on and say amen. God loves us even until the end. He loves us. Come on and say hallelujah. And so he's letting us know, I want this to be revealed to you. But then he not only does he want it to be revealed to us, but he wants it to be revealed through us. What are you saying now? I'm saying that we need to tell people that I was once a sinner. So I was one of those people that you would look down on. I was one of those people that you might talk about in the street. But guess what? I have been changed by the glory of God and by the Spirit of God. I'm a new creature. And you know, the Bible tells us that if any man be in Christ Jesus, behold, he's a what? He's a new creature. All things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. But people always living in your consignment past. They want to go back and get the stuff that you used to have, the stuff that you used to do. Tell them, look, I don't have a consignment shop. I got a new shop that you can get some new stuff. I can tell you how I came from there to here. I can tell you how I went from rags.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Bell Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessing. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
I want you to turn your Bible today. I'm preaching from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 1. And I want to commence reading at verse 9. 1 Samuel, chapter 1, beginning at verse 9. Recorded are these words. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou would indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while, I want to talk about Hannah's prayer. Hannah's prayer. This has been noted by many as Hannah's prayer because it specifically deals with Hannah's inability to have children and her desire of the Lord to give her a son. And because of her dedication to the Lord, because of her sincerity and faithfulness to God, God hears her and he honors her. When we look back in the scripture as we walk through this word again and we talk about Hannah's prayer, we also will see that her prayer was not just a prayer, it was also a vow. And a vow meant that she made a promise to God. It was a covenant, if you will, that if God would do his part, then she would do her part. It's important to understand that she was in a desperate situation, and she was going through some things, and she needed God to hear her then if he had never heard her before. And you look at the word again, the Bible says in verse 10, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord, look, and wept sore. Now what caused Hannah to have bitterness of soul and then wept so sorely? Well, I'm glad you asked. It's in the text. Let's walk back to it if you don't mind. Verse 1 reveals her husband is Elkanah, and Elkanah was the son of Jeroham, and they were Ephraites. And verse 2 says, and he had two wives. That might have been the first part of her problem. Look at what the word says. And the name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Verse 3 says, and this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priest of the Lord, were there. Verse 4 says, and when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all, listen, her sons and her daughter's portion. Now, it's interesting that it puts it in this phraseology, her sons and her daughters, when they were really his sons and his daughters. But the record is, and you've got to understand it according to Jewish history and structure, Hannah was the first wife. Uh-huh. And Peninnah was the second wife. It was like Abraham and Sarah with Hagar. Yeah. When Sarai couldn't have a baby, she contracted with Hagar. Yeah. To be able to have a child. Now, even though Abraham didn't marry her as such, still she was considered a wife, or in some terms, a glorified wife or a concubine. And so she was authorized, even though she wasn't ordained. Yep, y'all catch that on your way home. I mean, she had the first lady's permission, but she wasn't the first lady. And so her
purpose was there for one purpose only, give my husband a child. And so here, when we look at Peninnah, Peninnah was the second wife, and it is suggested that she came later after it was clear that Hannah couldn't have no children. And after trying and trying and trying and trying, they then allowed Peninnah to come on the scene. You call her Short Penny. And Penny's job was to do Penny things. But look at this now. Look at this. The Bible says that Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And the Bible says again, verse 4, and when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions, which means he was a right man, a fair man. He gave them everyone their portion, that belonged to them rightfully so as related to his wealth. And the Bible says in verse 5, but unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. Now, he loved Hannah, his first wife, but God had shut up her womb. He didn't curse her. He just shut up her womb. He would not allow her to reproduce at that time because God had greater things in store. Sometimes God does some things unlike we would do things, and it mystifies us. Many times it brings us to a place where we cannot comprehend nor understand nor deal with how God does things. But I've got news for you. God knows what he's doing. Now listen at this, because now in shutting up her womb and allowing Peninnah to come on the scene and having child after child after child after child, what it did reveal was still the love of her husband for her. Listen at this. He wanted children. It was again a cursed situation upon the husband and family when there could be no children. And so she wanted her husband to have children. So she permitted that, but she was thinking that his love would then be diminished for her and for the one who brought forth the children. But look at what the record says. The Bible says, verse 5, but unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. Verse 6 says, and listen now, and her adversary, put Peninnah's name right there. Listen, because that's who he's talking about in this word. Listen at this. And the Bible says, and her adversary also provoked her. You won't know why she's bitterness. She has bitterness in her soul and is experiencing this great vexation. Listen, it's because the other woman in her house is vexing her. Look at this word. I want you to see this. It says, and her adversary also provoked her sore. Listen, for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her wound. Now, she's teasing Hannah. She's mocking Hannah. She's making fun at Hannah. You can't have no children. The Lord has shut up your womb, but I am fruitful and have multiplied. Listen at this. She's really making fun at Hannah. The Bible says again, and verse 7, and as he did so year by year. When she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore, she wept and did not eat. She just wouldn't stop. Just wouldn't stop. You know, you got to know she wasn't no sister. Yeah, you got to know she wasn't no sister. Because I know even saved sisters wouldn't have that. Every year you going to come on with the same old stuff. You going to play me. You going to mock me. No. Sister wouldn't have. Now some of you sisters sitting up there looking like, oh, I would. I'm a child of God. This woman was vexed sorely. And you can understand if it was just one time and the woman repented of that and got herself together. But year after year, she would continue to vex Hannah, so much so that it became so sore underneath the skin that Hannah just couldn't take it another time beyond this. Look at this now, here again, because I want you to see this. The Bible says, then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? Listen, and why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? Listen now. He's declaring his love for her. He said, baby, what's wrong with you? Why are you grieving like this? Why are you weeping like this? Why have you lost your appetite? Listen at this. Now, she didn't go and tell him, because this other woman you got keeps bothering me. You know, she had her issues with Penina, but she was woman enough to keep them to herself and tell them to the Lord. She didn't go through that. When he said, I'm better to you than 10 sons, she was making it clear it wasn't about that. You're missing the whole point here, because here she wanted to be in her own right, able to have a son for him and go through all of the things that are necessary to prove her love and to share her love and to have her family and to be a part of the divine plan of God the way that it was intended to. And so this was an indictment not only against her womanhood, but against her spirituality, because it suggested that something was wrong with her spiritually, that God had shut up her womb. So obviously she wasn't all that she was supposed to be, and Penina just wouldn't let her live it down. Penina just kept getting pregnant year after year, time after time. Every time you look around, Penina was getting, you look at breakfast, Penina pregnant. Look at lunchtime, Penina's pregnant. Snack time, break time, next time, Penina pregnant. And she can't have one child. Every time you look up, that nasty. Well, you know, that's how you talk when you can't have one, you know. Because the Lord did say, be fruitful and multiply. But when she couldn't have one that grieved her and it pained her underneath the skin. But it wasn't because she was cursed. Sometime God delays your blessing to bring out the best in you and your situation. Listen at this, because I want you to see the word now. Verse 9 says, so Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. She didn't eat, nor did she drink. But this was those who were connected with Elkanah and all of them. And so they had all eaten and drank, and then they moved on up. And as they had gone in Shiloh, had eaten and drank, after they went Shiloh, they came. And the Bible says, now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. Verse 10 says, and she was in bitterness of soul. Now you know why she was in bitterness of soul. Listen, this just wasn't no head thing. This thing had gotten down underneath the skin. This was in her soul. She had become bitter to the point where she couldn't get better unless something would change. And so notice here, the Bible says, not only was she had bitterness of soul, the Bible says, and she prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. I mean, this was no little tear falling down the eye. This woman was crying out, weeping sorely. I mean, you felt her pain. You knew that she was sincere. Everything that was in her that was filled with this bitterness and this stuff that was on the inside of her, she wanted it out of her, but she wanted to have the reality. She really started focusing out of her own need and desire for God to change her situation. It wasn't so much yet that Penina had the children. It was the fact that God had shut up her womb so she could not even have a child. Look at this word, because I want you to see it. The Bible says, and then when she prayed and she wept sore, verse 11 says, and she vowed a vow. There are three things I want you to see about Hannah's prayer, and then we'll move on to the rest of what consists in this prayer. The first thing you need to realize is Hannah is desperate. She's desperate. The record before this makes clear that she is desperate. But not only is she desperate, but the truth of the matter is she's depressed. And she's depressed, which makes her desperate. And so when you are depressed, you do desperate things. It is in the state of her depression. She is not eating. She's crying. She's bitter. Listen, she has separated herself from everybody else. Even though she's gone to the temple to pray, she has broken away from the company to go and do this because she was not in on the celebration and of on the sacrificing. And so she was so bitter that she couldn't participate with the rest of the group. And so now in her state of depression, and now she's desperate, look at what she says to the Lord. The Bible says that she made a vow. She vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, listen now, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Now, this seems to be a prayer of desperation, because if she really wanted a child, why didn't she just pray for the child? Why does she include giving the child up, giving the child back, releasing the child after she came, if she wanted to know the full joy of motherhood? Well, it had reached a point and place where her focus had changed. And now, because again, she wanted God to answer her prayer, she says, God, if you just answer my prayer, give me the experience of the mother, I will honor you and return this child back to you, because you will have removed the curse from my life. You will have shown me favor and honor, and the child that I have had will be yours as a gift back to you. She had repositioned and refocused her attitude and her mindset as related to motherhood. Now, I want you to understand this, because one of the things that I love about this, in spite of her depression and in spite of her desperation, she was quite definitive and dedicated. Well, let's look at how definitive she was, because, listen, she was clear. The word says she made a vow. Now, here's the problem with too many of us who make a vow. We make a vow and forget what we've said. We make a vow and we're not clear about both parts in the vow. Now look at this, because I want you to see there are several parts on her side and only two on God's. Let's go back to the word. She vowed a vow. Now what was the vow consisted of? She said, Lord, if thou will indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid. That's one. God, if you look on the affliction of your handmaid, listen at this, because I want you to understand this. It literally means to visit me and to remove again this curse, as if it were, because that's what it felt like to her, even though it was just a shutting up of the wound. If that was a shutting up, then that was going to be an opening up. A curse meant it would never bear at all. So the record was clear to say the Lord shut up. And that meant he had a purpose for shutting it up. It meant it wasn't time for it to
open up.
Yeah. To open up. And so that's why she says it's an affliction and not a curse. So she's making clear, if you visit me in this affliction that I have. And then she says, two, and remember me. Now I want you to just show up and don't perform surgery.
All right.
I want you to show up, and I want you to show out. That means to open up my womb, make me able and capable of having a child. Listen at this. and not forget thine handmaid. That means to bring to pass what I'm asking you to do for me after you have visited me. Listen at this. And it says, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man child. I want a boy. Why? Because the Bible says the male child that opens the womb is blessed. And so she's saying, because I've had to wait this long, I want to make sure that I get a double blessing. A blessing, one, for being able to have a baby, but two, being the male to be the first of my babies. And so there she was clear about that when she said, a man child. Then she said, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. So she now was saying that I will dedicate him because I'm dedicated to you. Listen, when you see mothers who are dedicated to the Lord,
yes, sir,
then it's not very far off that the children will be dedicated unto the Lord. Mothers have so much power and so much influence, and many of them don't recognize in today's time that whether they are positively or negatively affecting their children, what they say, what they do, how they act, what they are is passed on to the children. Many times you don't have to tell a child how to do a thing, just show them. Just operate in the vein that that child should go in, and that child will pick up on it without you having to tell them that. And so the influence of a mother has been noted in our culture as well as in scripture. And mothers, you need to know today that God has given you a powerful influence, and he wants you to use that influence for the glory of God and for the good of your family. I don't care how high you are or how low you are. When you became a mother, you got a special favor on your life. You got a special anointing on your life. And God is holding you responsible for being dedicated to him. And that dedication passes down to your children. And so because she was dedicated, she had no problem dedicating her child to the Lord. Listen, it's right there in the scripture. And she went back to the word and says, then I will give him unto the Lord how long? All the days of his life. And look at this. She says, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And so literally, she vowed that this son that God would give her would have a Nazareth vow, where no hair would be cut from his head, signifying that a vow had been made that he would be dedicated unto the Lord and he belonged to God. And so, my brothers and sisters, one of the things that you will see, though she was depressed, though she was desperate, what is quite clear was she was definite and dedicated in what she said to the Lord. Can I tell you, God knows your prayer life. See, you can say all you want to say, but God knows whether your heart is sincere with what words come out of your mouth. Listen at this. She didn't tell this to the priest. She told this to the Lord. She didn't tell this to her husband. She told this to the Lord. There are just some things that you have need of, you have desire of, that you must learn. Can't nobody do anything but the Lord. And you've got to learn that sometime you've got to learn to tell nobody else but the Lord. She prayed the prayer in the house of the Lord, but she didn't mention a word, nor did she have a conference with the man of God. She didn't make no appointment to sit down and tell him all about her troubles. She came in there and she poured her heart out to the Lord, and out of her heart flowed the issues of life, and God heard her. As the priest marked her mouth and saw it moving but saw no words, and he came to her and he rebuked her as if she were a devil's daughter. And she made clear, sir, you've got me wrong. I've not had wine nor strong drink. I've not been celebrating. My heart is hurting. I'm sorely bittered. And I cried out to the Lord about my... As a matter of fact, I was talking to the Lord. I wasn't talking to you. This was a private prayer in a public place. So excuse me if I didn't pray out so you could hear me. This prayer belonged to God.